Jesus asked Peter this question three times, and if you look at it, he actually says a few things differently, but in our English translation, it all comes, feed my sheep. Some translations in your Bible actually do change that word up, and it's feed my sheep, and then the second one there is tend my sheep. And if you look at the words there in the Greek, there are different words that Jesus is using there. Now, Jesus is not literally telling Peter to feed his sheep. I'm sure we're all good biblical students here, and we know that's not the case, right? Jesus was not going around as he was preaching the word, and he had a flock of sheep behind him, was he? No, that's kind of ridiculous, right? And I'm sure he told Peter this three times, probably because we all know Peter's a little slow gritting things, right? But here's the thing, is when Jesus said this, there's a couple of different things he's saying. He's saying, one, feed my sheep. This isn't corn we're talking about. It's a spiritual food that he is supposed to be feeding. The second time he says it, it's the word tend there, and it has something more to do with like the care or the leadership that Peter is going to have to take on. Jesus is telling Peter, you know what, I'm not going to be here much longer. And my sheep are going to need somebody who will feed them spiritual food and lead them. Tonight, what we're going to talk about is we're actually going to look at spiritual leadership. Now, let me preface this by saying spiritual leadership, because some of you may have just checked out on me and said, well, this sermon's not for me. That is incorrect. We are not talking about spiritual leadership in the form of, well, you're an evangelist, or you're an elder, or you're a deacon, or fill in the blank. That's not what we're talking about. The type of spiritual leadership that I'm talking about is not gender-based. I'm talking about true spiritual leadership. So I guess the first question maybe that we might want to ask is, well, why is spiritual leadership important? I mean, it seems to me like that would be a good question to ask. Why should we even have spiritual leadership? Well, obviously Jesus was concerned about somebody to lead. So we should be also. You know, if you look at 1 Peter chapter 5, let me give you the first reason why spiritual leadership is important. Satan is at work. There in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. If we don't have true spiritual leadership, we are going to have people who are going to fall victim to Satan's work and be devoured. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Another reason why this spiritual leadership that we're going to look at this evening is important comes from this verse right here. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Here, Jesus says, they are blind, let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. You know, this may not be a popular thing for me to put up on the board, but let's face it, some people are followers. Some people are followers. I mean, here Jesus says there are going to be those who are blind, and who are they following? The blind. And if we don't have true spiritual leadership, what we're going to have, we're going to have a lot of people who just fall into the ditch. No, we have to have spiritual leadership. Third thing that I want to point out this evening is in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, as we're looking at this importance of spiritual leadership. In Romans chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. And not to please ourselves, let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Some folks, let's face it, are just weaker in the faith. Or you can also say they're just maybe not spiritually mature. I mean, there's a reason why they're called babes in Christ. Biologically, we understand this. We understand that when a newborn babe comes out, we don't expect them to just start walking or reciting scripture or, I don't know, giving their thesis. Whatever you want to fill in there. We don't expect that. So why would we expect that out of somebody who is a newborn Christian? No, we must have spiritual leadership. So if you would, turn your Bibles with me, because we're going to focus in actually on just one section of the Bible this evening. We're not going to jump around. That's the most jumping around we're going to do. But if you would, turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. And as we think of this concept of spiritual leadership, true spiritual leadership, I want to point out this evening six different things that I think that we can learn from Samuel as far as being a true spiritual leader. If you look there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, simple little verse right there, and this is hopefully most of us are good biblical students and we know who Samuel is, because if not, I'm not giving you a lot of that this evening. I'm expecting you to already know kind of who Samuel is, and if not, you're going to be kind of behind the eight ball a little bit, but that's all right, you're still going to get the biblical points. But there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, this is after Hannah has already given him over, it just simply says, "And the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor both with the Lord and men." Well, yeah, Nathan, he grew up. That's what that says. Well, that is part of what it says. Now, what's interesting is that's almost very similar to when Jesus was in the temple and he was learning, and then his parents were looking for him and they found him and then they took him home. And what did it say? He grew in wisdom and stature, both with men and God. Very similar to what we see here with Samuel. But look also in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. This is after Samuel has been with Eli a little bit. And here Samuel is, and this is where he hears the voice of the Lord. And in those times, the voice of the Lord was rare. But Samuel is in bed, and he hears something, and he thinks, well, it must be Eli. So he goes to Eli a couple of times. And we'll pick up our reading there in verse 8. "And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. So he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you did call me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord had called the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you must say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and laid down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" First point that I want to bring out is spiritual leadership requires training. Samuel started out not being this great leader of Israel. He started out simply as a boy seeking guidance. And he listened to Eli, did exactly as Eli had told him to do. And look at what it says there in verse 19 of chapter 3. "So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground." Samuel followed the simple plan of God, listen to God. Second point that I want to bring out this evening about qualities of spiritual leadership comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7, 1 Samuel chapter 7, starting there in verse 3. Now this, of course, is after the Ark of the Covenant has finally kind of made it back. It had been lost and it's now come back home. And there in verse 2 it says, "So it was that the Ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented. Verse 3. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs, and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together all Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. You're going, Nathan, okay, what's the point there? Goes along with another verse. And that's in 1 Samuel chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And starting there in verse 6. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who raised up Moses and Aaron and who brought your fathers up from the land of Egypt. Now, therefore, stand still that I may reason with you before the Lord concerning all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and to your fathers. And we can just stop there. Because I think it both of these illustrates the point. And you can go and look at the rest of Samuel, and you can kind of see over and over again that he had a knowledge of the truth. You know, when he was speaking to Israel, he knew that the Lord would be with them if they did what was right. He knew the history with Moses and Aaron, and he goes on and keeps going on. He had a knowledge of the truth, and a true quality of a spiritual leader must not only be trained, but they must have a knowledge of the truth. Third principle that I think, or quality that we can pick up out of Samuel, is we won't even leave chapter 12. But we will back up a little bit. And if you look there at chapter 12, verses 1, starting. Now Samuel said, and a little context behind this, just in case you're not familiar. So in chapter 12, we're picking up right after basically Saul saves Jabesh-Gilead. And so he's already kind of been kind of coronated as king, right? Because they wanted a king. And that's the thing about Samuel. And Samuel was pretty downhearted about this, is because Samuel is kind of that transition that we have from the judges, and I'm sure you all know about the book of Judges, right? There's kind of one overarching theme, and don't say judges, because yes, that's true. But, you know, everybody did what was right in their own eyes. I'm sure you've heard that before. And what we see throughout the whole book of Judges is kind of this downward spiral of Israel, and we get to this book of 1 Samuel, and here Samuel is, and he's trying to be the judge. He's trying to lead the children of Israel. And they asked for a king. He set up a king. And look here in chapter 12, verse 1. Now Samuel said to all of Israel, indeed, I have heeded your voice in all that you said to me and have made a king over you. And now here is the king walking before you, and I am old and gray-headed. And look, my sons are with you. I have walked before you from my childhood to this day. Here Samuel gets up and he says, you know what, listen. You know, you wanted a king. Here's your king. Me? I'm old. You can tell. My sons are here. And I've been doing this a long time. I've been helping Israel. I've been trying to serve the Lord since childhood. But look at what else he says. As we continue on our reading. Here I am, verse 3, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose donkey have I taken? Or whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? Or from whom have my hands have I received any bribe with which to bind my eyes? I'll restore it. And they said, you have not cheated us or oppressed us, nor have you taken anything from any man's hand. Then he said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day that you have not found anything in my hand. And they answered, he is my witness. Samuel stands before them and says, here's your king. I did what you asked. I've been serving since childhood. And I want to know, is there anybody out here in this congregation who I've taken an ox from? Taken a donkey from? Have I stolen anything? Have I cheated you? Or have I, you know, taken a bribe from you so that I can say, well, you know, that might have been a sin, but it's okay. Third quality of a spiritual leader is their character is intact. They are leading by example. We see Samuel here. He makes his plea before all of Israel. I've lived my life honestly. And if you have something that you think that I've cheated you on, please let me know because I'm going to make it right. Samuel was a man who had his character intact. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, as we look at our fourth quality of spiritual leadership, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, starting there in verse 25, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 25, this is right after Saul has been looking for his family's livestock, and he is told that he is going to be the king. And here's what Samuel says. There in verse 25, chapter 9, verse 25, when they had come down from the high place in the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. They arose early, and as it was about the dawning of the day, that Samuel called to Saul on the top of the house, saying, get up, that I may send you on your way. And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. Seems like it's starting like any other day, right? You know, oh yeah, they got up, had coffee together, decided to go on downstairs. Hey, I need to get you on the road. Verse 27. As they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And he went on. But you stand here a while, that I may announce to you the word of God. Fourth quality of a spiritual leader is they're looking for opportunities to teach and to instruct. This is just one example of the course throughout Samuel's life where he has taken opportunity after opportunity to teach and to instruct not only Saul, but also the nation of Israel. Here he is telling Saul exactly what God has for him in his life. A spiritual leader looks for opportunities to teach and to instruct. Fifth point, 1 Samuel chapter 13, 1 Samuel chapter 13, starting there in verse 10, 1 Samuel 13, starting there in verse 10. Now, this is where Saul has the Philistines, and, you know, they're kind of coming up against them again, and Saul's kind of getting antsy. You know, Samuel was supposed to be there, and, you know, because Saul knew that, you know, kind of something should be offered up to the Lord before going into battle, because, you know, you want to win the battles, and the best way to do that is having the Lord on your side. But there's a problem. Samuel's not kind of showing up. So Saul's getting kind of antsy. People are starting to leave. But there in verse 10, there in verse 10 of chapter 13, it says this. Now it happened as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering. Uh-oh, Saul. You're not supposed to be presenting that. That Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. So here comes Saul. He just offered the burnt offering. He's like, uh-oh, here comes Samuel. Hey, Samuel. How's it going? And Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, when I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will now come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom forever over Israel. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept the Lord commanded you. You did foolishly, Saul. Now remember, at this point in time, Saul's been the king for at least 2 years. Samuel just stood up to the king. As we look at 1 Samuel chapter 15. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 10 starting, this is after Saul has spared King Agag. And we kind of pick up right there in verse 10 of chapter 15. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he has set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. We'll stop right there for just a second. Because here's the scene is Samuel's now looking for Saul. The Lord has already said, man, I'm grieved about Saul. Samuel has lamented about Saul. And Samuel goes to Saul, who is the king. And the king's like, hey, blessed are you. Now, Samuel has a choice to make. He go, well, thank you, Saul. Give me blessings, right? Give me places. Give me stuff. Samuel's character is intact. That is not what a spiritual leader does. No, a spiritual leader does something much more. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Oh, you've done all the Lord commanded, Saul. So what's the livestock that I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Well, we did most of it. But we knew that God needed the best. Your God needed the best. So we were using these for sacrifices for him. Being the spiritual leader that Samuel was, listen to this response. Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet, and I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. A true spiritual leader is willing to speak up. Think about this. As a king, what could the king have done to Samuel? Yeah, you know the answer to that. Exactly what Samuel ends up doing to King Agag. See, you know, we can look for opportunities to teach and to instruct. But let's face it, a true spiritual leader is willing to, when he sees the opportunity, is willing to speak up. You can say, well, Nathan, you know what? I do that. It becomes very hard to speak up when it's something you have to say to your friend. Remember, Samuel grieved for Saul. And he had to tell him some hard words. 6. 1 Samuel chapter 7. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verses 3, and we kind of already looked at this once before, but we'll pull out another principle. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 3, this is after the ark has been at Kirjath-Jearim, and it says, "Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, 'If you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away your foreign gods and Asherahs from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only. And he will deliver you from the hand of the Philistines.' So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Asherahs and served the Lord only." Good job, Israel. They heeded the words of Samuel. But I know we're good biblical students. We know that didn't last long. If you turn to 1 Samuel chapter 12, 1 Samuel chapter 12, and we're going to pick up there in verse 20 of chapter 12. And this is after he's already kind of given them the breakdown of the history. Like, remember that God who did all these things for you? It's kind of where we're going to be picking up at the end of this whole section. And there in verse 20, it says this. There in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 20. "Then Samuel said to the people, 'Do not fear. You have done all this wickedness. Yet do not turn aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And do not turn aside, for then you would go after empty things which cannot profit or deliver, for they are nothing.'" Samuel says, you know what? All this stuff that you did, you rejected God as your king, wanted a different king. After he did all these things for you, you give this type of wickedness. But guess what? Because God is who God is, just don't turn from him, and he'll still be with you. But don't turn, because what you're going to do is you're going to go after these empty things. You know, I don't know, there might have been somebody who said vanity of vanities later on. You're going to go after those type of things. Don't do that. But look at what he continues. "For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as far as me," now listen to what he says, "moreover, as far as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider what great things he has done for you. But if you still do wickedly, you shall be swept away, both you and your king." Sixth point, Samuel was persistent. Do you see what he just said there? He says, you know what? You've done all this wickedness, but there's still hope. There's still hope for you. Do not turn away. And even if they did turn away, what did Samuel say his response was going to be? What did Samuel say his response was going to be? "Moreover, as far as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord." I'm not going to sin against the Lord, because even if you go a wrong way, I'm not going to cease from praying for you, that I may teach you the good and right ways. You know what? I'm not going to give up on you. I'm going to continue to preach the word of the Lord. I'm going to continue to pray for you. I'm going to continue to instruct you. I'm going to be persistent. Six qualities of a spiritual leader that we see in Samuel. It required him to be trained. He had a knowledge of the truth, a character that was intact, who was looking for opportunities to teach and instruct, and was willing to speak out even when it could cost him his life. And he kept doing it. So, application. What's this have to do with me? Are you the type of spiritual leader that the Lord requires? Are you striving to gain the knowledge of the Lord? And are you living by it? Are you looking for opportunities to teach others? Are you willing to speak up when it's not even easy? We're called to be spiritual leaders. Are you going to give up? Like I said, this is not a gender lesson. As Christians, we're required to be spiritual leaders. Because just as I pointed out at the very beginning, there are some who are followers. And if they're following somebody who's blind, they're both going to end up in a ditch. Somebody's got to be the eyes leading them in the right direction. Shouldn't it be you? You know, if you realize that maybe you haven't been the type of spiritual leader that God has wanted you to be. That's the thing. We have a merciful and loving God. What did Samuel tell the children of Israel? You've done all this wickedness. You've turned against God. Wanted a king when you had a true king. But there's still hope for you. And if he can do that with the nation of Israel, he can do that with you today. It's not too late. As long as you don't turn away from the Lord. There's many brothers and sisters here that, just like Samuel, I'm confident, who are willing to continue to pray for you and to continue to teach you the good and right way. If you have a need this evening, please let it be known as we're now led in song. If you would, please stand.